Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. What a great first hour. Thanks for being part of it, hopefully. Still amazed that this police commander spoke out so calmly but bluntly about the skyrocketing murder rate in places like Philadelphia, where he lost two nephews to gun violence. And why are there not protests? Why is there not such media scrutiny of that? And I'm looking on Twitter, and this is where the problem is. Shut up, you're a cop, says Big Man. Why are you guys not stopping it? God, it's just incredible how emboldened the mob is against the police. The police are the receptacle of everything that's gone wrong here, okay? So we don't want them to do their job, but we don't want murders either. We want to blame them for that. And today, I'm convinced, Dan, keep your eye out, I am too, the Fulton County DA or attorney, I think, is going to bring back some kind of murder charge against the cop, which will never stick with the jury. It will not, but he won't care about that because then down the road, the mob is off him until the next time, until this goes to the jury, etc. You're not getting a murder charge out of this. You know, people can look at this and say, could there be a different outcome? The taser debate and everything else, but a murder charge, something like that out of this, no. It's not going to stick. Just like I don't think second-degree murder, aiding and abetting up to 40 years in Minnesota for the two cops, one 3 days on the job, one four, is going to stick. Their punishment was being dismissed as cops. Maybe something else. But 3 and 4 days on the job with the commander, you know the whole thing we've been through. Watch for this today, though. It's because of pressure. I'm looking now that civil rights groups, we got a lot going on today with social media and the like. Civil rights groups are pushing for a Facebook ad boycott. The Anti-Defamation League, the NAACP, and others seek protest of what they say is the company's failure to make its platform a less hostile place. Okay? Going after Facebook. They took out a full-page ad in the LA Times on Wednesday, urging advertisers to pull their spending on Facebook for July. Now, here's what this is about, I believe, okay? They can say whatever they want, that it's about this is fomenting violence, anti-Semitism, all that stuff, okay? I think it's more about they're trying to pound Zuckerberg. And they're trying to say that as we head into this election cycle, we're not going to allow anything here remotely pro-Trump, anything connected with Trump. You know that's what is behind it. And yesterday, we have Tucker Carlson probably said it best. We have this story that is remarkable. It confirms every suspicion that conservatives have. It's Tucker and a guest from The Federalist. I like The Federalist as a website. I find it to be very elevated. I don't read the comments afterward, but these are comments of people, and these comments can be sometimes vile, sometimes whatever, and they've had to essentially police them or take them down or be defunded by Google when it comes to ads, when it comes to revenue. Zero Hedge is another relatively conservative website they're going after. They have not complied. I like Zero Hedge because I get a lot of financial stuff there, provocative stuff there along that. You see what's going on here. And NBC was involved with this. And also involved is some outfit, Dan, I don't know if you saw this. It's kind of like Media Matters in Great Britain. NBC references them. This is how it starts. That they try to stop hateful websites around the world. So they put Zero Hedge and the Federalist, which is a lot smarter than this woman from NBC, they put them on their list. NBC jumps in with that. They hand it off to Google, and then Google does the dirty work of demonetizing the Federalist and Zero Hedge. Just think about these people. If you used to be a liberal progressive, you would have more than frowned against censorship like this. Now, it's right in your wheelhouse. So I just see this story at the Wall Street Journal that just came down. Now the NAACP, Anti-Defamation League, et cetera, and they're going after Facebook and telling people to withdraw from them, boycott them, ads, people on Facebook don't follow, everything else. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to take Facebook away. They're trying to make Facebook more like Twitter, to be anti-Trump, anti-conservative, cracking down on that. I think these idiots still believe that we're seeing people that the Russians, $30,000 in ads apparently they bought. That's what changed the election. That's what it's about to me. Here's one quote. Today, we're all asking businesses to stand in solidarity with their most deeply held American values of freedom, equality, and justice, and not advertise on Facebook services in July. Let's send Facebook a powerful message. Your profits will never be worth promoting hate, bigotry, racism, anti-Semitism, and violence. Very nice. Facebook is the target, the big guy. Okay? I think deep down, a lot of this stuff has to do with Trump. So here's Tucker last night with one of the writers of a column that I read, and I don't see how this was something that triggered what we're talking about today. One of the guys from The Federalist, they're talking about what I just gave you, this convoluted circle of elements that are out there trying to shut down conservative websites, thought, and even people that write comments after they read the article, which is just another slice of shutting people up. Here's what they said.
This afternoon, NBC News decided to use some of Google's power to shut down a couple of its competitors. Power is useful for that. An NBC employee called Adele Macomo Fraser forwarded Google executives a screed from a left-wing activist group in England denouncing two sites, Zero Hedge and The Federalist, as, quote, racist. Google immediately took the bait, of course. The company threatened to ban both news organizations from Google's ad platform, in other words, to cut off their revenue. Adele Macomo Fraser was thrilled by this. She immediately fired off a victory tweet boasting about the censorship she had inspired. Adele Macomo Fraser seemed very satisfied with herself. She had done her part for the revolution today. Did you know this was coming?
No, we didn't. And it's actually really interesting how this came about. We never got any formal notice from Google. We never got any notice from their ad team. We learned about this from NBC News, from the reporter, Ms. Fraser, who emailed a general info account at the Federalist. She didn't email me or my partners or my founders saying, hey, we heard that Google demonetized you. What do you think about that? And it's at that point where we started reaching out to connections that we have at Google and found out that it turns out, yeah, something was going on there, but it wasn't what NBC or Ms. Fraser had said. In fact, it looks like NBC, the network that coddled Harvey Weinstein and Matt Lauer, by the way, had partnered with a foreign left-wing group in Europe to go after us and to use Google to go after us. And as of now, since we have temporarily removed our comment sections, I can assure you they will be back. We are back in Google's good graces. But this is a pretty terrifying example of the power that you have between the unholy union of corrupt media and monopolistic tech oligarch.
Yes, and Josh Hawley, the senator, rising senator from Missouri now, has introduced more anti-tech Google-esque legislation. Now, look, I don't like to see any platform, and we come back to this debate, but this is out of control with these guys. And with all that, think about this. with all that they tried to do, Google particularly in 2016 and these others, they still could not defeat Trump. They could not defeat the word uprising thrown around, this popular uprising against all the stuff, the elites of both parties. That's what the election of 2016 came down to. People had had it, not just with the progressives, but with Mitch McConnell and these others. Here we go again, even more intense, more blatant this time. All right, now one of the things that Trump is going to speak to, and they're already out there saying, we played you a cut the other day of several of the talking heads, really, he's going to lose. He's going back to the same old playbook. And Dan has been pulling stuff. We'll play this hour because Philadelphia Eagles are biggest story in town, not just sports-wise. I often say the three big jobs are the Archbishop slash Cardinal, the mayor of Philadelphia. These are the most prominent. And the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and probably the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, is more famous, gets more press, in some ways has more power to please people or not than the Archbishop and Jim Kenney. So, Dan, we have one out of two. I don't know if we could ever strike up a relationship. Doug Peterson's pretty hard to get on. The Archbishop comes on. Jim Kenney never will come on, so those two cancel each other out. But here is, I want to play the audio from yesterday from the press conference. Then he was on with Angelo today. We'll play you a little bit of that. Or, Dan, do you like Angelo's?
No, I think the press one is good to set the stage.
And yeah, it sets the stage. And look, I feel for Doug Peterson. And as I said, he bonds with his players. He listens to his players. He talks with his players. That might be his biggest and best skill. That, and he had a lot of great people around him that he didn't feel threatened by, like Frank Reich and these others. And he had the good sense to keep Nick Foles in there. But other than that, here's what yesterday he's asked, and he supports what they're going to do. Then I'll give you an idea that Mark Thiessen put out there that I've thought about that would be a better thing to do than the whole team taking a knee. I think if you don't take a knee this time around, at least the first week of the NFL, then that's going to be big trouble. And if Roger Goodell thinks he's smarter than Trump, and he does not play the national anthem, Trump is going to be all over that. And then we're going to hear people say, don't you people have anything better to do than to talk about this? You know what? That's called not knowing your customer. People care about this. Okay? At least any polling, my own gut, my own sense, people care about these cultural issues. And if you don't want them to care, don't offend them. All right, so here's some questioning of Eagles head coach Doug Peterson yesterday about what's going to happen.
Hey, Doug, it sounds like the majority of your players are going to be demonstrating pregame this year. Are you planning on joining them on the sidelines?
You know, one of the things that, you know, you're hearing a lot about it more and more, but one of the things that as a head football coach that we're going to continue to do is have discussions in every area, not only with social injustice, but the anthem, with anything that comes up. And that's one of the things that I think that, you know, going into my fifth year with this football team, we've been able to have, you know, dialogue and conversation. So nothing has been determined. I understand that, you know, that players, and I support players who demonstrate peacefully and, you know, stand for something, because, you know, we have to fix the whys. It's part of the whys that, and trying to understand, you know, our players, and we support our players. I support our players. And, but we're going to have these conversations. I know once we get into camp.
All right, he can't say anything there. I mean, that was a very good political answer. Dan, here's the question. If the NFL plays, and I think they're going to, unless we see these numbers continue to climb and all, I think Roger Goodell is hell-bent to do that. I think it could be 75 to 95% of players engage in this. So will Philadelphia Eagles fans, and they're, you know, across the board, but the typical Philadelphia Eagles fan, I think, and I may be wrong, I'd like to see the breakdown, is kind of a moderate Democrat. You know, they think the Democrats are for the little guys. They've grown up in Philadelphia with this. They're not progressives. They're not that. But they're not Republicans, by and large, you know. The significant number of them are. Are they going to embrace this? Are they going to say, it's time, we get it now? Coach Peterson gets it, having conversation. This is not going to be seen as it was before. What do you say?
I don't think it's going to be seen as good enough.
Ah, well, that's even worse then. That's a backfire.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is he's giving this very hyper-political answer,
right,
to kind of, you know, yeah, push it down the street a little bit to not have to,
yes,
give a solid answer. I don't think it's good enough. I think, yeah, they're going to demand that he gives an answer, yes or no. Is he going to kneel?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be bad one way or the other for him. And the thing is, and the sad thing is, I think a lot of public personas are more afraid of the left than they are the right. And that's why you see a lot of them kind of bowing down to the,
right,
the call.
I think he will take a knee then in the end here.
I mentioned earlier in the show that my kind of theory is that they're not going to show the national anthem at all. Because right now it is,
right,
literally just for the fans. They cut away for commercial for the 2 minutes of the national anthem.
Well, we'll still know back about it, though. We'll still know about it.
But,
still
but will we? That's the thing. If there's a national anthem and there's no fans in the stand.
I see what you mean. No fans in the stand.
Yeah, so what's the point of doing the national anthem if there's no fans in the stand?
Okay, well, I think we'll still see it. I don't think they'll cut away, but I still think they'll take a knee without fans there, or even if they don't show it. That's what's going to happen.
I just think the NFL knows that the best PR, the best optics of this is just to kind of not have anything at all.
Okay. Well, then what do you think these players are going to do? You think they're going to settle for that? I don't think so.
I don't know. I think they'll have to find a new way to protest, and hopefully that new way isn't as controversial as the current way.
Yeah, I think they'll demand. I don't think Roger Goodell's in a position to cut away, as you said. I don't see that. That's a nice thought. Now, Mark Thiessen says, here's the appropriate way. If you ask for a moment of silence, 60 seconds like we did, for George Floyd, okay? You didn't characterize it and all other victims of these police and that type of stuff. You put that in, that's going to be bad. Now, I know that wouldn't be enough, but that's one idea of what the NFL could do that would be appropriate, right? Who could object to that? I wouldn't object to that. I don't think you would, right?
No.
But it wouldn't be satisfactory. This has to be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes what they're really protesting, the people engaged in this, Kaepernick at least. Let's focus on him. He was the focal point. Kaepernick does not like America. Kaepernick arguably hates America. So are players going to distance from Kaepernick or continue to embrace them? If for them, it's only about, say, the George Floyd incident, they ought to say that. Okay, that's a lot different than a free-floating thing, America's racist. The one, I think people would accept a one-time thing because of the horrific nature of what happened to George Floyd. I think people could accept that, even in the middle of a football game. I think it's that dramatic they would. All right, 855-839-1210. We'd love to get you in, though. So I feel for Peterson, trying to bond with the players, but not going overboard is to be a head coach in this situation, very, very difficult. You know, with no baseball, it doesn't look like, and I am not someone thinking the NBA is going to have a season two. There's still a lot to be done there. When football comes back, if it does in some way, shape, or form, it is going to be the center of the universe, and the politics of this are unbelievable. So how will people feel when we go down this path again, even more intensely? I hear Dan's point about, well, they just won't show the national anthem. There won't be fans in the stands, most likely. I can't imagine social distancing. Will the players still demand that it be shown? Yeah, I think they will. I think that will be the whole point. And Doug Peterson said a lot of other things. He was asked about bringing Kaepernick here, you know, conveniently for them or good for them. They have Jalen Hurts. They don't need Kaepernick. You can imagine the team that brings him in. There is going to be tremendous distraction. That's the part out of this that bothers me, because Kaepernick hasn't changed. Kaepernick is still the guy last year. Mark Thiessen points out it was last year with the Betsy Ross Nike shoes. Remember, he's the Nike prodigy, right? He went crazy and they had to remove the Betsy Ross shoes. We had a whole thing here of people buying Betsy Ross flags. It was due to Kaepernick. Is that about the cop? No, it's about the country with him. and the cops mainly as the focal point of this. So anybody allied with Kaepernick, right there, you can't have this reasonable discussion about this in the wake of George Floyd. I'm sure there will be moments of silence, and if it's just about George Floyd, I think people, you have to say, yes, that's appropriate, it's correct. If it goes beyond that, though, and we start impugning the police in this, and I do think Eagles fans would be pro-cop up and down the line, right? How do you square all those things? And sporting teams, particularly the Eagles and others that are just so much in demand. I think they're one of the five, Dan, out of everything in the world, including some of these soccer teams. I think the Eagles are in the top 10 as far as passion and demand, don't you? I mean, I just can't imagine being in another city where it's this intense. So, if that's the case, what do Eagles fans do? Do they just say, it's the Eagles, I'll put up with it, I'll go along with this? It was very mixed the last time around, but the NFL as an entity suffered. And the NFL will be among the top four or five issues if they have a season and it goes this way. Trump is going to go after it. And the other side is going to say, why doesn't he have more important things? Nope, he knows the American people are looking at this. This is our national pastime. This is as big as anything in America, the NFL. It is an obsession. Let's go to Mike in Hamilton. Mike is next in on Talk Radio 1210 with Dom. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Dom. My comment on the NFL there is if the NFL decides that they're not going to play the national anthem, you could have the interesting dynamic of the players demanding they play the national anthem so that they can disrespect it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what would happen because the players are not going to give this up. I mean, you know, Mike, and maybe with you too, the whole thing with me is I'm not impugned. I don't even get there with Malcolm Jenkins and these other guys. Not even going to debate that you are disrespecting the military and the country. The simple thing with me is this is out of bounds. You're at work. Your customers, the consumers here, should not have your opinions afflicted on them, because there are any number of other opinions out there that you wouldn't like if people were taking a knee or protesting and disrupting what is supposed to be a game.
They've got plenty of time, in my opinion. They say that they have to do it then or people won't pay attention. They're in the limelight all the time.
Exactly.
They've got plenty of time to bring these things up.
Case in point, Malcolm Jenkins is the first player, active player, that's ever been made a contributor at CNN or any cable network, and they want him as a contributor on the sport but slash social justice. That's unprecedented. It makes your point. If Kaepernick wanted to go on everywhere in America today, he would be on everywhere in America to say whatever he wanted.
Yep, that's true.
Yep. What's your food that you refuse to eat, Mike?
Okay. I came up with one that I think is going to be close to your heart. Pineapple, or for that matter, any other fruit on a pizza.
Well, okay. With that, that's nicely played by you. Refuse to eat it. Dan would eat a black olive if it's on a pizza, though, apparently, if he couldn't get it out of there.
If it's disguised a little bit, I might be able to stomach
it. Okay, now that was out of the box a little bit. The pineapple on the pizza, I agree with.
Yeah.
Okay?
Someone on Twitter said if they really want to offend the protesters in South Philly, show up with a pineapple on a pizza.
That's a good one. I have to give high points for creativity. That guy had to think long and hard, and he underlined it, Dan. I'll show you. I was texted by the cop there that it's sauce, not gravy. I could just see what that was like. Extra Louisville sluggers for that. So 855-839-1210, you get in. What else do we have with Doug Peterson? Was he asked more about this, Dan? I'll let you call it. You have the cuts. Yesterday with the reporters, what else around this was
it? It was mostly focused on so at some point during the press conference, I wasn't able to find it yet. He does talk about it a little bit further, but not much. But then this morning, he was on with Angelo Cataldi, and Angelo asked him to elaborate a little bit more, and I do have that.
Let's hear that.
All right.
When we saw these social protests, Carson was in the front end of that with a very heartfelt message to the world about the protests that were going on. I wonder what your reaction was. I mean, it was like the very first day before a lot of other people came in. Carson sent that out. How did you feel about that?
I felt just like Carson said, and the way he feels, you know, and reading his statement, you know, I had a lot of similarity in I could relate to that, you know, to that message. And so for me, it was just about, and Carson was the same way. It's like, you know, we've got to continue to, we got to understand the whys, and we got to fix the whys, and we got to communicate and talk and have dialogue. And sometimes they're not easy conversations to have, but you got to have them. And, you know, I plan on continuing to have conversations with the guys, you know, during camp, obviously during the season, just so that we can understand. And, you know, so for me, I felt exactly how Carson did at that time.
And obviously the symbolic player in this is Colin Kaepernick. If you needed a backup, if you needed a guy to bring onto the team to help, would you consider signing him?
Well, I think, you know, again, obviously I can't comment necessarily on Colin, but I think it's something that if a team or even us were in a situation, I think we look at all possibilities, we look at all scenarios. And you know, the one thing you got to keep in mind is he hasn't played in a couple of years, but that still doesn't mean he couldn't come in and be a backup and learn your system and do those types of things for you. So it's not out of the realm. You know, it's not out of the possibility that could happen.
All right. So you can understand how ticklish this is for Doug Peterson. And as far as the whys and all that, on a personal level, I would say I get what Peterson's saying. But that's not the big picture on this. The big picture where I think Carson Wentz overstepped is when we get into policy. He and, what was it, Dan, 1,000 athletes, 1,400s, cops can't be sued, take away qualified immunity. See, all this stuff about conversations, et cetera, is fine. It's even noble. The problem is when we get into the policy aspect of this, particularly with the police, I got to say, I am defensive because I think the police are being made the whipping boy. I'm looking at these idiots on Twitter. African-American commander were trying to get on. And we played this interview from CBS3. We'll play it in the 11 o'clock hour again. It's brief. Talking about the staggering homicide rate in Philadelphia, particularly among young African-American males, okay? He is himself an African-American male with two nephews who were lost to gun violence. And he wanted to know, why is that not front and center, along with the protests while that's going on, okay? And I'm looking on Twitter, and you can see the narratives that have hardened. Several people, well, you're a cop, you're responsible for that, duh. What do you mean? When it comes to policy, I think the president struck a good balance yesterday with the chokehold, the national database. But this idea that we're going to sue cops up and down the line, we're going to defund police, we are going to make police be ashamed of what they've done and what they do, I am defensive about that, and I always will defend them on that. And isn't that what it comes down to? It's not just about, and Peterson's right in his role, but societally, it's about nuts and bolts. What is it that we should do? And one thing we shouldn't do is charge this cop in Fulton County today, who I think will be charged in Atlanta, with murder in the situation that we saw play out. And we could all look at that and say, at some point, where the debate is over the taser, deadly weapon, not, you pointed at a cop, etc. But charging someone with murder is reckless and caving into the mob if that happens today. I can't see anything there that would indicate any of that. So it's not just about understanding and hearing on a personal level the hurt or grievance that a person has where it was unfair to them. That's good. That's fine. It's about what is it that is the solution to these things. That's where the debate is. And the debate has another side, which is the cops are being just vilified here for every possible evil that the left sees in America. That's what it comes down to me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.